The following is a presentation of the Premier Dance Network.
I'm James, and this is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side. Oh, that's terrible.
Welcome back to The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside. I am your host, ABT, principal dancer James Whiteside, and I am here today joined by my esteemed guest, Harper Waters, soloist at Houston Ballet. There she is. How are you doing? You good? Gosh. You feeling all right?
You know, we are here. We are still queer.
Oh my God. I think we might be queerer than ever.
I think so. Honestly, like, I have heels, costumes, glitter, a wig. I even have a cocktail, like, stage right, because I did not know what was going to happen today. But it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 5 o'clock
in New York.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
5 o'clock in New York. So just get your cocktail ready.
We can do some, like, ASMR.
You weren't kidding. So, okay. No. So we are both ballet dancers, and we
yes.
are both supremely affected by COVID-19 in mm-hmm. that our jobs cannot exist right now.
Mm-hmm.
All performances that we've, you know, been scheduled to do, all tours have been postponed until further notice.
Yeah.
So what are you doing right now? Like, what is occupying your days?
Okay. A lot of Instagram.
Yeah.
A lot of nothing, to be quite honest. And I'm finding it difficult because this has been like a real reality check in that how much my life schedule, what I eat, what I do, what I decide to do is dependent on ballet and
yeah.
How I present myself like in the studio. Like it's my least favorite thing to step into class and start dancing and have it feel terrible. And that can be dependent on what I eat or like what I drink maybe the night before or something. And I'm struggling with having motivation to just get up and do and be active because I'm like, what is there to do? And, because, like, honestly, like, if there was a role that I was worried about that was, like, 4 weeks in advance or something, I would think about that in what I eat and what I do. And I don't have mm-hmm. that. So I'm like, yeah, I can have this mac and cheese. Like, yeah, I can.
Do you really watch what you eat? Do you have a very strict diet? I don't relate to that.
I think that, like, not in, like, a strict diet and just something that, like, if I have a lot of chips and queso the next morning, like, the next morning, I'm like, you had chips and queso.
No.
If there's a meal I eat after a show, like I'll try to have like carbs with it or something.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm like, I haven't had a vegetable in.
Wait, okay. First of all.
In forever.
Eat a vegetable, queen.
No,
so
I know.
What are grocery stores like there right now?
Okay. No pasta, no rice and grains, toilet paper doesn't exist, don't know her. But like the
Actually,
organic
I've got some
aisle,
toilet paper there. See, it's, that's
I have
right.
one, like
I'll
I was like,
I
got one, like I, it's 12 like rolls, like I'm just one person. So like,
queen,
if, that, right?
I mean, I wish we had the days at this moment. Europe is like,
yeah. I know, right? I was like, should I use some makeup wipes? Like, is that like
no fire in the hole.
Oh, really?
I don't
okay,
know. I
good
would
to
just
know.
Imagine it's like
good to know.
There's got to be something that's not good for sphincters
sure,
up down in there.
Oh my God, are we allowed to say?
Oh my God, please. On the stage right side, we tells it, okay?
No, yeah.
I will
but
not
like,
be censored.
Grocery stores, I feel like, in Houston are, you can go and you can get things to eat. It's not like, what the heck do I do? I will say, though, I don't know if you've experienced this, but, like, you walk in there, and it's, like, have you seen that, like, Mayhem Miller, like, GIF where she's, like, performing, and she's, like, looking around?
Oh, yeah.
And she's, like, it's, like, it's very much that, because you're, like, I'm sorry, like, I don't want to, I want to keep my distance, but, like, I gotta get this, and, like, do you have it? I don't want to give, like, it's very that. And so you step in there, and I'm,
sort
like,
of the same. It's like cruising also, in a weird way. Because everyone's looking at you. I'm like, am I cruising right now, or is this a grocery store? Or is it both? Mm-hmm.
Oh, plot twist.
Okay, yeah. So let's go back. We'll get to this a little bit more. But
okay, sorry.
Can we just get, let's do the, like, you know, all the, let's get the quote-unquote boring stuff out of the way. So tell me exactly where you're from, and why you're a dancer, and how you ended up at Houston Ballet.
Okay. My name is Harper Waters. Sure. I am 28, Capricorn, and I'm a soloist with the Houston Ballet. And I'm about to start, I don't know when, but my 10th season with the company. And I moved to Houston in 2009 to join, originally just to join the summer program, like a 6-week summer program. And I auditioned for HB2, which is like the second company. It's not like it is. I auditioned without telling my parents, because the teachers there were like, you should try it. We'd love to work with you. So I auditioned and I got in, and I told my parents, like, I'm going to be here. Like, they were like, no, you're not. You need an education. You need to finish. I had to go back and finish my senior year of high school. And I was like, you're ruining my dreams. Like, I want to be a dancer. And, you know, through a lot of conversations, I decided to, a lot of help actually from Lauren Anderson, who was the first African-American principal of a major ballet company. She was from Houston, and she was like, boy, come down here. Like, you need to be here. And so I went, and it happened. And I joined the second company for 2 years. I joined as an apprentice to the main company in 2011. And then in 2016, I got promoted to a demi-soloist. And then in 2017... a soloist, and then here she is today, 2020, thriving.
Yes. Okay, so good summary. Excellent work. I know you've done that before.
Thank you. Thank you. Media trained.
Media trained and ready to go. So I have a couple of questions. So what I've followed you for years now on Instagram, and I have to say, following you is such a joy. You bring such like a self-awareness and a humor to what you do. And it's like, I don't know, I relate very deeply to that. What are your thoughts regarding like being a classical ballet dancer and then having this very free, expressive, like online public image? Like that, those go at odds in history.
Yeah. So it really comes down to when I started to like be fully me and like embrace everything that I liked. And obviously that took time and over many years of trial and error sort of, but in my acceptance of myself and in doing that, I just saw my dancing get better. You know, like it was like you join the company and you think legs, feet, turns. And when you're put into a position where you're not having to stand on the side in line with someone and you're out there by yourself or with a duet or playing a character and they say, you need to try this, you need to do that. And you're like, but my leg's here. And they're like, and what, you know, like when you have to kind of convey human emotion and make choices, you have to make these choices that are authentic to you. And at first I was like, oh, I'll make the choice that I see this heterosexual principal making, or I'll make the choice that I see this butch person making because they're at the top. And I need to be like that. But then it's like so forced and so uncomfortable to see this be like,
yeah,
you know, like it's like, no. And so it just was like, I credit a lot of it to social media, in that I saw such a response to how people were responding to my social media, in the heels, in the flamboyancy, in the colorfulness, you know. And I was like, wait, people are responding to that, you know, and that's me. And it's not just me, but it's a part of me. How do I translate that into a port-a-bra, or how do I translate that into playing with the music? And so I started to do that, and I would get sassy with the music, and I'm not like doing the Prince in pink heels, but like, you know, like, it's like, how do you make it your own? And so that's where the more I turned the volume up on Harper, the better my dancing got. And I wanted my dancing to be good, so I just embraced myself more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. It's like, I don't know, you gain wisdom through like accepting yourself, and through all those life experiences that come along with like finally realizing who you are, and what you want to put out into the world, just energy wise, and what your personality is. I also think you become mature with time in what you idealize in ballet.
Yeah.
So like, I think, I mean, at least what I liked a lot when I was a teenager is not the same as what I like now. Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful to my dear friend time.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever gone and have you ever gone back and like watched the YouTube videos that you were obsessed with? I've had lots of time on YouTube in the past 2 weeks, and I would go back to like the ballets, and I would be like, why were you so obsessed with this? Like, what? I mean, there's many qualities that translate to now that are like still really, really amazing. But also it's like, were you just focused on their feet? Were you just focused on their leg? Hmm. Or is this dancer convincing you of believing what they're selling? And, you know, and that to me is much more valuable right now. And also it works for me. Like if I had extension to here with a foot, maybe I wouldn't smile, but like I have to smile. You know?
Wait, so you think your leg doesn't go up? Because I beg to differ. So speaking of YouTube, give me like what's one ballet video that you loved and still love?
Oh my gosh. I really connect with this. It's really bad. I'm going to forget the name of the ballet, but it was Angel, Marcelo, Vladimir, and four. And it was, I think they were all ABT principals, and it was a Mark Morris ballet. And, or like watching like Angel and Paloma do Don Q. Watching Carlos do Don Q. Those, the bravura of it, you know, those were videos that I really, really connected with. Romanzo by Nacho Duato, that was a big one.
Yeah, same. I have to say, I always vibed with the ballerinas more than the men, because it was so butch what they were doing. I was like, I don't relate to that at all. Mm-hmm. And I would look at these like beautiful women, and like they were just so like sensual and beautiful and strong. And so I was like, I want to be a ballerina, essentially. And then as time goes on, you're not like, that's not a thing in a like main ballet company where you're like, I'm going to be the ballerina. I mean, also I don't have the training, but like, I just, until I had to be doing those parts, until I was given those roles, I was like, I was like terrified to do men's steps.
Terrified. Mm-hmm. Double tours.
Yeah.
That like I was like, I would hide because I just was so petrified of it. But I was like, if you want me to give you like Swan Lake Act One, like White Swan variation, I can try and do that, you know?
Yeah, I swear, like, the first men's steps that I ever did were, like, on stage, like, in a...
Really?
In a core dance or something. I remember learning how to do a double tour, like, for a performance and a double soda bath. Mm-hmm. Actually, we did, in Boston, we did James Kudelka's Cinderella. And I was cast as one of the officers, which is like a very technical sort of demi-soloist part. Mm-hmm. And there were turns in second, and there were double tours, like both directions, and double soda baths, both directions. Mm-hmm. And I remember being absolutely terrified. But then the performance came, and I was fine, and I didn't fall over. And then your fear sort of dissipates. Do you feel the same way?
Yes. Yeah, so I am a lefty. I mean, like, she's weak on both sides, to be honest. But it's like, if I had to do, if I'm out there by myself, I'd love to go to the left. But so, like, there's a ballet called Divergence, or here at Houston Ballet, that is like two lines of men at the finale, and they have to do double tour pirouette, double tour pirouette twice to the right in a line. Like, what? And I would, like, the thought of it was like I would want to throw up. And it was, I didn't even realize until it came back into rep now, and I was cast to do it, still fearful, but the confidence I have of, you just got to try it. You just got to do it. And it's like crazy how mental, I mean, how more mental it is than physical. Because when you have the confidence to like try it, and you're okay with failure, and it's just a step, trust your training, that whole vibe, it was way easier. It was way, and it was way more comfortable. I was able to handle it better. But yeah, I definitely have the like fear of like, what the heck is going to happen with this? Yeah. Because weakness is not a great, it doesn't feel great to try and sell something that you don't believe in as much. Like I could soda shot around the stage for 5 hours and just, you know, live. But one double tour, I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I mean that, I mean, Nike really nailed it with that Just Do It campaign. It's, you can't let the fear get to you. And the more you just go for it, the better off you're going to be. And you're going to have this sort of wild freedom. And that's a dancer I want to watch.
Yeah. I also feel like sometimes you have to accept the pressure cooker feeling, like, and not run away from it. Because like, when you accept the pressure of things or weight of things, that forces you to step up your game. Like I would go into a studio and I would practice. I would do the double tours over and over and over again, because I was like, I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to let the choreographer down, but I don't want to be weak, and I really want to do it. And so sometimes realizing that you're being tested is a good thing to push yourself to, you know, get better.
Amen. So I want to go back to YouTube for a second. Mm-hmm. So can we talk about like one of your favorite non-ballet early YouTube hits? Doggy? Is that a doggo?
She's here. She's,
what's her
twirling
name?
This is Roxy.
Roxy, I want to meet Roxy.
Here she is.
Hi, Roxy. Oh my
God. She's a little disheveled. I need to give her a bath.
I need a bath too. Roxy, okay. I relate. Okay, she's very cute.
Non-ballet was, oh my God, Shoes on YouTube.
Oh yeah. Oh my
was
God.
Was that YouTube?
Shoes. Oh my God. Shoes.
Oh my God, Shoes was, that was like a big one. And I feel like if that was around when like TikTok and Instagram was, like he would be like legendary. I mean, he is legendary.
I wonder what he's up to these days.
Hopefully he's making like royalty checks off of the YouTube or something.
I don't know. I feel like it wasn't monetized at that point.
Shit.
No.
I will say that there's this video called I Hate My Job. I don't know if you've heard of it. But I remember watching that and being like, is that me? And it was actually Lawrence. You know, videos like that, like it was like, I do remember that. I don't know, like it just, it's, I need to go into my history, but like probably a lot of, America's Next Top Model, Miss J.
Miss J, yes.
Miss J is like the reason I was like I came out because I was like, is that me? Like, he's clearly homosexual, and yeah, that is me. But yeah, I'd say videos like that.
Yeah. What? So tell me your coming out story.
Well, it wasn't at day one when she graced the earth. She was in the closet for a little.
Uh-huh. How long was it deep and dark, that closet?
I think that it was dark, but there was a lot of glitter, and there was a lot of, I feel like my closet was like my room almost. Mm. Like, it was like when I shut the door to my room, like the full shirt bikinis came out, like redoing Destiny's Child Survivor was all like, that was me, like sneaking TRL and the real world to like hopefully find the gay cast member kissing. Mm-hmm. Like, that was what I would do. But then when I like was out in the wild, like at school or something, I just was like turned down. Like, it's like you turn the volume down. But I came out when I was 14.
And work.
I know, she knew. But like, I had these two girls that were friends, and one of them I was dating. Uh-huh. And where we just like said, I love you. I don't even know. Julia Gigliotti, if you're watching.
Hey, Julia.
Hey, Julia. She's married. Get it. I'm not.
Everyone's married. Like, everyone from high school's married.
Everyone.
Yeah. I wasn't invited to any of the weddings.
Multiple babies.
Oh, my gosh.
But, so, I was on the phone with them. I was on the phone with them, like, Julia and Ashley. And they were like, you know those three-way calls, like, very mean girls? And, we were just chatting, and they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm actually watching America's Next Top Model. And she goes, oh my gosh, you're just like Miss J, but you're straight. And I was like, actually, I'm not. Like, I'm actually gay. And they were like, really? And I was like, mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, we kind of knew that, but like, cool. And I was like, oh wow, that was like super, super easy. So I like hung up the phone, ran downstairs to my parents, and in full production form, I was like, Mother, Father, I have something to tell you. Could you sit down, please? And I just told them. And my dad started crying, and my mom was like, I knew since you were two. And it was very easy. It was very easy, surprisingly.
So why was your dad crying?
Oh, joy.
Oh,
biggest
really?
Fan. Biggest fan. Oh, my gosh. I could literally walk out on stage, take a dump in a plastic bag, and he would be like, groundbreaking, Harper. Like, we love it. But so they supported me like wholeheartedly.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know if it was because I was obsessed with like the real world reality TV, how homosexuality was portrayed in the media, but I immediately was like, I'm gonna get bullied. Like, I cannot go back to my Northeastern hockey school. These boys are going to destroy me. And in retrospect, I was wrong. I think that my community that school would have supported me. Mm. But I was petrified. I was like, I cannot do it. Like, I can't, I didn't feel like I had people on my side. Like, I didn't have like that go-to group of people. And so I knew I could dance, and I knew of a performing arts high school that the girls at my studio were wanting to go to for a summer program, which was Walnut Hill. Mm-hmm. And that was the impetus for me auditioning that summer, because I came out in the summer and I was like, Mom, Dad, like, I need to go to this school because I can't go
back. Because I'm gay.
Yeah, because, which is weird because it's like, I don't know, like my career in dance started out of fear of my sexuality rather than the joy of dance. I just, the dance was a great vehicle to take me to Walnut Hill.
It wasn't, and, you know, it wasn't the fear of your sexuality. It was the fear of how others would behave toward your sexuality, which 100%. Is very sad.
And a big reason why I do what I do, because You know, I'm adopted, so like both my parents are Caucasian. And the whole, I knew I was different or wasn't fitting the norms when I was growing up. But despite that, my parents loved me and supported me and let me pursue this career. I dropped out of high school. I moved away when I was 16, you know, and that's not the luxury for everybody. And so I try to empower through example and empower through this, you know, in hopes that it inspires others to try it, because it's like, I know that that's not the reality for others. And I can't just like live my life being like, it's great. Yeah. Like it worked for me, you know? So that's why I do a lot.
Are there any stories you can tell us that were just particularly difficult, regarding sexuality or race or anything like with your community?
You know, I was lucky to, when I did get accepted to Walnut Hill, and I left home when I was 14 to go to boarding school. And you go to performing arts high school and you're surrounded by lots of other queers, and lots of other people who accept you. And so I was very lucky to be in a community that was supportive in that sense. Before that, you know, going to private school in New England, that's where I learned what, you know, the F word that rhymes with gag, you know, that word, and not in like a cool, like work way, like in a, you are a that way, the N word, but not in like a, it never was like, you're that. It was just like, they said the word because it was so easy to say. And they just felt like it was like chicken, cloud, gag, you know, like it was like, it was like that. And so that's where, like on the soccer field, or like, you can't be a dancer because you're a boy, or dancers don't look like you. You'll never be great because, you know, like, look at you and stuff like that. Yeah. Stuff like that.
And what was your way of coping with such things?
Shirt bikinis and Destiny's Child, but no, a lot of tears alone. I'm only child, so like I was like my only like friend and my only cheerleader, and so I had to be my rock. But I've always been like that. I've always been Miss Independent, Miss Self-Sufficient, you know. And so, but yeah, so I don't know if that's just a tough skin and that's just how I've been. But a lot of tears, but dance also, you know, that led me to, dance was offered at my private school as an elective. So I didn't have to do a sport. I could do dance. And those girls were like where I was like thriving. Like that's where I was like, this is Harper fully loaded. And they danced at a competition, a local competition dance studio. And so that I was like, let me go there. I need to go there. And that was my way of coping. I looked forward to ballet and dance just so I could be with them. And like, that was like my vacation. I wanted to take as many classes as possible, do as many jazz classes, contemporary lyrical, street funk, ballet. I needed to do that. So I didn't really have to deal with the people who weren't supportive.
Absolutely. That sounds right on track with my situation. So speaking of dance, where do you feel like you are and what's next? Is the principal contract on the way? Tell me everything.
You know, it's really funny. So I just was, I randomly had a dinner in LA with Desmond Richardson, who was like a huge hero of mine growing up. And I had no idea that he was asking me, what are your favorite ballets? And I said, Forsyth's Vertiginous was a big bucket list ballet that I've wanted to do for a really long time. And he's like, oh, you're just saying that because I'm here. And I said, what do you mean? And he was like, oh, I was the original cast. And you knew that, right? And I was like, well, I'm uneducated. But I had no idea. And that kind of spurred a conversation of, do you see yourself becoming a principal? And I said, you know, like, I really want to, but I want to do it based on merit. And I've danced the Prince in Nutcracker. I've danced the lead in Merry Widow. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done Swan Lake. I haven't done Albrecht. And I would love to do that because I think that if you tick that off, for me, that was like, oh, you can become a principal. And he was like, mm-hmm. you know, I never really danced these big ballets. But what I had to offer in the contemporary realm and these one-act ballets spoke to my director saying that I deserve to be a principal. And so he mm-hmm. was saying, don't weigh your value of being a principal in certain roles. You need to weigh it in your dancing. And so that motivates me to just whatever role I'm given, kill it. So that, you know, so that prove to whoever's watching or your boss, that you can be a principal. And I'd love to be a principal. I want to be able to call in for a show that I don't have to go to.
Oh my gosh. Work.
But no, but like, and I, it would, it, we all work for, you know, we all work for that. And I want that. And I don't know if I was one of those people like 3 or 4 years ago who's like, you know, I don't really need to be a principal. Like, I can just be a soloist. And like, no, I would love to. And I would love to. And I think that everyone has their own unique path of getting there. So.
Well said. So beyond dancing in a ballet company, what are some things you'd like to achieve during your career?
I think that I would love, and it doesn't even have to be myself, I would love to see a reality ballet dance show that mm-hmm. was in the vein of The Real Housewives, but or The Real World, that wasn't based truly on stereotype of the ballet world, but just the people who happen to be ballet dancers. And I think that would be really entertaining. But a lot of my visions and aspirations are to elevate ballet to the mainstream level of appreciation and attention. And mm-hmm. I just do that in a way that coincides with my interests. I like RuPaul's mm-hmm. Drag Race. I like mm-hmm. Beyonce. I like mm-hmm. those things. And so I tie it to ballet.
And that's true.
You know, like I tie it to things that I think will elevate it, but also that I just genuinely believe in. Uh-huh. And, you know, we have other arts disciplines that people travel to New York to see Broadway musical theater just for that show. And mm-hmm. then it's turned into a mainstream movie. And then, mm-hmm. you know, you have people who have crossed over into who are actors and that are getting these big paychecks and big notoriety. And I'm not saying that like monetary value is what I'm mm-hmm. after, but I think for the amount of work that we know that dancers put into what their work, I think that it deserves to be at the level of NBA or the Olympics or something like that. So I also would love to be a Wendy Williams, but, you know.
I think you'd be
I'm not as old yet.
I'd hope you'd be nicer than Wendy. She is ice cold, baby. Ooh,
she's very controversial.
Ice cold. Entertaining, though. Good for her.
Yes.
So this is a very strange iteration of the Stage Right Side in that usually we do the interviews in my dressing room at the Met Opera during the spring season. So this is very different.
Yes.
I'm so happy that you were willing to do this. Mm-hmm. And a game that we usually play at the end of an interview is called mm-hmm. Hidge or Not Hidge. And the definition of Hidge is Hedges. Oh, darling, that's Hedges. Like, you know, oh, I hate that. That's Hedges. You
okay.
know, Hedge.
Sure.
So, all right. So let me think for a second.
Wait, what do I say?
You say Hedge or not Hedge. If you think it's okay. Hedge, you say Hedge. And if you like it, you say not Hedge.
Okay.
Hedge or not Hedge. Wendy Williams.
Hedge.
Go on, why?
That's saying I don't like her, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I think she's homophobic. I think she is close-minded.
But you just said you would love to be Wendy Williams, so I'm confused.
I think a version of her. This is what I will say. She is the only talk show that is just herself live for 20 minutes. She sits in front of a camera with millions of people watching unedited and holds your attention like this. That is a skill that I think how she can deliver, not stutter. I admire that. Do I think that she is misguided and homophobic at times? Yes. Have I watched her in a really long time? No. Do I send memes of her? Yes. All the time. But, I think she is kind of like a train wreck. Like, you just can't take your eyes away.
Hmm. All right. Hedge or not Hedge? Kelly Rowland.
Not Hedge.
Okay, good. Just checking. I didn't know if your loyalty to Beyonce ran so deep that you were going to shade Kelly.
Oh my gosh.
I love Kelly. She's great.
When Love Takes Over is a bop.
Oh my goodness. And Commander.
Yes.
And Motivation. And what's that other one? Grown Ass Woman, I think, is another one that's a jam. Yeah.
She's great. She's great. Not
Hedge. She's so good. Not Hedge at all. Not Michelle Hedge. Williams.
Not Hitch.
You not know that's like the Jesus one. When Jesus
said
yes,
yeah. But who was on that track? Who was on that track? Beyonce and Kelly Rowland.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a jam. I love that song.
So good.
I like, you know, not a big worshiper, but you know, sure. Whatever.
Beyonce got the best glam of that video. Watch it. The braids, it's everything.
Oh, I haven't seen that. We did the Dairy Queens, the drag group that my boyfriend and I are in. We did a performance at one of Suzanne Barsh's parties. I don't know, it was downtown somewhere. And we had a whole dance, and we did like we did that song, and we were dressed as nuns, and it was offensive and perfect. Yeah. It was really fun. We had like tearaway nun costumes or something. I don't remember.
I think that's art. That's pushing it forward.
Like This with Eve also slaps. Oh my God. You're absolutely right. Sorry. I'm reading the comments here.
I know. I've been
like
trying
this.
To ignore. Someone said
and
gay.
Work?
Someone said gay. And I was like, oh my God, you're Einstein.
Oh my God. Wait. Someone just discovered that we're homosexuals?
I know, it's wild.
Wow. They need to read more. Okay, last one. Hedge or not Hedge?
I'm scared.
Oh my gosh. How shady should I be right now? I mean, okay, no, I'm not doing that one. All right, Lady Gaga.
Right now, not Hedge.
Sweet.
Joanne era, Hedge.
Hedge. Except the song Joanne is really pretty, I have to say.
Yes.
It's so weird.
I will say, I use her as a verb a lot. I use her as a verb a lot that I like want a Lady Gaga on my way to like she was... Do you remember So You Think You Can Dance was her first performance? And she had, like, the, like, stuffed animals, like, on her? Like,
yes.
With the disco stick?
Yes, yes.
Like, what? And now she's an Oscar winner? Wow.
Did she win an Oscar? Oh, yeah, for her song, right?
Wow. Yeah. You know, she has elevated. I just wish where Beyonce has done the same thing in a sparkle leotard for years, look where she is. Hmm. Lady Gaga, I think, did a little too much. A little too much.
Oh my God, no, but the world was desperate for it. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
And I see in pop culture and aesthetic a pre-Gaga and a post-Gaga world that we are living in. Like,
very clean. That. Very that. Oh my gosh. No, I, like, telephone, like, the era where she was, like, making, like, movie videos, where it wasn't, yeah. like, but I lost her for a little bit. I did lose her for a little bit. But she's not Hidge. I love Stupid Love. Like, I like, loved it. I heard it before, you know?
Yeah, it leaked, right?
Yes, and I was like, so I felt bad, and then I was like, okay, what else is going to be on the album? And then she's like, just kidding, it's not coming out because you are inside. And
then Dua Lipa was like, swoop!
Wow.
It's a good album.
Levitating, Hallucinate are my two things.
Yeah, I mean, the album is really enjoyable front to back, I have to say. If you haven't heard it yet, friends, listen to the Dua Lipa album called Future Nostalgia,
yes.
Which is, you know, like, clearly made by a bunch of gay men.
Yes. She like, did a really literally. Great, I don't know if it's on her IGTV, but she did, like, a performance on Zoom where she was, like, in the middle, and then her dancers were, like, around her. Iconic. That dance yeah. is good, too.
I don't buy it. I feel like that had to, was that pre-recorded?
I think everything is. Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise the lag wouldn't work and people would just be dancing off the music and the drummer would be like, bing, bang, bong.
Right? And I wanted to be like, are you singing live?
She was like, I have hairspray right here. I did my hair while I sat here.
Oh my gosh.
Lip syncing to herself.
I have pet stain remover.
Oh my God. I almost, like, vomited. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Harper, okay. Yes. This has been such a pleasure. I'm going to wrap this up because I don't want these episodes to be 15 hours long.
Sure.
Even though I could actually talk to you for 15 hours.
Love that.
I am so impressed with what you do and just think you're hilarious and fabulous and talented. And I'm just so glad that I live in a universe with Harper Waters.
Thank you. I feel the same about you, TBH. So
TBQH. All right. Well, I'm going to do a little outro here, so okay. Just hang tight.
Okay.
Thank you all so much for listening to The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside. It is sponsored by nobody, so if you want to give me money, you can. Just kidding. I don't need your coins. Thank you for listening, and thank you to Harper. And
mwah.
Tune in next week. I'll be talking to somebody else that doesn't know yet. Bye, Harper.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Love you. Bye.